What? What? Just give me your thoughts. Let's start there.
Well, your thoughts post-game were right along with mine. I think I tweeted something along the lines of that I was most frustrated by this effort than any other game this year, even on balance, worse than the effort when they played at Madison. And it feels like, even though the competitive balance has been there for the most part, it just feels hard to visualize the progress. It seems like it's constantly two steps forward, two steps back. And yeah, I mean, this is a game you had to win. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I can't. There's nothing new about what we saw. I mean, we saw a team that doesn't play well offensively have a really good game offensively against us, and we saw us continue our poor shooting and our excessive fouling, and we have to revert to Trent and LeRon and pray for rain.
Yep. Yeah, it's, you know, you say two steps forward, two steps back. Like, Ohio State, I felt really good. Like, you know, tied with 3:30 to go, like, at a good team. You know, we'd come out so strong. It wasn't just the Trent LeRon show. Like, we play a good game against the, you know, they're going to be what next week? Number 11, number 9? Like, you know, we're on the road, play a good game. Okay, good. Now we're on a roll. We've won these two games. We got 3-9 Wisconsin at home or whatever they are. You know, we'll just take care of this and, you know, take a little push here in the second half. And then that?
When you say get on a roll, I think the very nature of this team makes it hard to do that, because outside of LeRon, who for the most part is going to give you 14-8, whatever, and we're starting to see that Trent's going to be on most nights than he's not. But the other 10 guys, it's been a complete mixed bag. There's so much inconsistency from Kipper to Mark Smith to DeMonte to Allstork, all those guys. And so it's tough to get on a roll when you can't get a consistent – Mike Finke, of course – when you can't get a consistent effort from just outside of two guys. So you're not going to get on a roll, because you never know what you're going to get from the balance of the roster outside of LeRon and Trent.
Yeah.
And the offense,
go ahead.
Even though it's hamstrung by the lack of shooters, and you saw that in evidence again tonight, I mean, we get open shots, and in most games, you know, it comes down to we'll miss a wide open three, another team will hit a wide open three, and that ends up being a huge difference. But the principles in the offense are still there, and I'm encouraged by that. But I still, there was no time tonight that I felt that we were in a position to win, because I never thought that Wisconsin would struggle to get a basket. They would dump it down to Ethan Happ. He would either school whoever defends him, or if they brought a double team, he'd find an open three and a three-point shooter, and Wisconsin would make it, even though they normally shoot 33% from the year. Of course, they shoot 44% against us for the season, but, you know, what are you going to do? So I never – same thing with Ohio State. It was always about, you know, Ohio State can get a bucket anytime they want, or Kate Bates-Diop can get a bucket anytime they want. And same thing with Ethan Happ tonight. I just never thought we were going to, no matter what Trent was doing, which is so much fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. It is so fun to watch that kid play. But when you know that on the other end, you're going to be right back where you started, 2 points down, 6 points down, you can't keep going to that well, because when you devolve to reliance on hero ball like that, you're not going to be consistent. And we're back.
And I'm $120 more.
Perfect.
I mean, seriously, could this just, I mean, like, does anyone realize how much driving and how much, like, how much effort this is for a, what are we now, 12 and 13?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're 12 and 13. We're 12 and 13.
I believe when the, yeah. I believe when the esteemed law enforcement officer from Solano interrupted our conversation, I was in the middle of a rant about how it's really difficult for a team that can't shoot to then be so porous on defense. It's just not a happy combination right now.
Yeah. And I just, yeah, let's just pick up for a minute. You know, I don't even know what I'm going to do with this. I don't even know how to splice it. I don't care at this point. Let's just keep talking. So, what? Okay, here's where my thoughts are stuck. Like, I get what we're trying to do. I can see how this system works when we get players in it. We've had a lot of compliments, or at least from my end of Twitter and the people I follow at other Big Ten schools, there has been a significant number, Michigan people, Ohio State people, a lot of people who have said, wow, this is a different Illinois team. Like, this isn't last year. They know what they're doing. They're not there yet, but you can see where this is headed, kind of thing, you know. So I put a lot of stock in that. That other people who know basketball and play against Illinois are like, oh, this isn't like beating Illinois last year. They're going somewhere. Once they get the players and once they understand the system, once they get older, blah, blah, blah. So that's encouraging. But then I look at a game like tonight, and it's like, man, how far off is that? Because you can't just fix – some of these things aren't going to get fixed until there's shooters, until there's a rim protector, until there's – you know, like it doesn't just – yeah, I as you know, I went into this season with like, okay, this is practice years, this is dress rehearsal – don't really expect anything, but then you get everybody back. You had Io, and we have a little coming out party at Maui again. But now I'm just like, wait, we've got to get Io plus three other, you know, players to really make something. Like, I just, how does this get better quicker? I don't know. Tell me.
I think you did a pretty good job of putting words to the same frustration I have or the same questions I have. I don't know how it gets better quicker with when you're only bringing in, at least as of right now, a 2018 class of one. Now, I mean, obviously, who knows what the roster is going to look like next year. There's going to be some turnover. They'll get some guys, probably some grad transfers. But like you say, you are running a system, and this is where I understand what Underwood's trying to do. It's like you said, and I get him trying to instill the culture, even though he does not have the horses that he needs to do what he wants to do. But that there's a like you said, there's a lot of buts there. We have.
Yeah.
The frustrating thing is even though, you know, we had these group of freshmen coming in, and we thought that, I think most people thought that at least one of them was going to be a breakout player, and I'm not sure as many people thought it was going to be Trent Frazier as maybe it was Mark Smith. So if you kind of view that as an even trade, you're getting something from freshmen. You're getting a LaRon, but you're not getting what you expected from the rest of the roster. So to answer your question, since you can't expect, I don't think you can expect anything more from Tijon Lucas. I don't know that you're going to expect more from Mike Finke. I think you could maybe hope for him to shoot a little better, but you know, you don't typically see a junior to senior leap for a fifth-year guy in the program. It doesn't happen all that often. So it's recruit or bust, and what looked like you said, a coming-out party for 2018 might be a couple years away, unfortunately, because there's still the same warts are going to be here next year at surface level.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, of course I'm going to make it about football, but this, it's starting, I mean, it's reminding me of football, and I don't mean that in a negative sense. Like it's seriously reminding me of what Lovie's doing, where I think it's fair to say that Lovie came in and, you know, played the seniors. He had 24 seniors his first year. Lost a few quarterbacks playing with Jeff George as a freshman. You know, the season kind of went south, a couple bright spots, beat Michigan State, but, you know, all in all, what he was hoping to do with the seniors, he didn't get there. And then he looks at his roster and says, I don't know if I've got any Big Ten luck. Like, I'm just not sure these guys fit what I'm trying to do. And so he brings in freshmen, he plays them immediately. And then he's going to do it again next year. And it's basically I'm going to be honest with you guys, when I walked in, I just didn't see the players I needed. And it's crazy to go that young, but you just have to hand in what I was handed. You have to. You know, there's no NFL players on this team. There's nobody at the combine this year. There's only 7 seniors on the team next year. You know, 15 of the guys who he's already playing freshman over have left. Lovie looked at it and said, I just have to start over. I have to. And now I'm wondering if, like, Underwood's not throwing everybody out, but it's like, okay, this second-year surge I was thinking about where he's got the 3 seniors and he's getting some sophomore leaks and he's got a 5-star freshman. Okay, you know, that it can be a little something to build on the second year. But now I'm wondering if he's, you know, he's going to go out and recruit a big 2019 class. And then he's probably going to come in and play a lot of those guys immediately with IO and with, you know, okay, Trent, but and, you know, hopefully Mark Smith or something. But it, you know, you see what I'm saying? Like, I'm starting to look like, you know, this is looking like football of like, hey man, we've got to be players, and that doesn't start till next year, which means we're not really going to be getting somewhere until year 3, but that's probably year 4. So that's scary.
It appears to me that Underwood is genuinely surprised at how poorly a number of his players have played on the offensive end of the floor. He used to, you know, and on the few occasions I've had to be in the post game press conferences, he gets asked similar questions about, well, what's the shooting, and he gives the same answers, and you can see the frustration on his face. Where he says, we make him in practice, but I've never seen anything like it. You've got Mike Finke, who he called an elite shooter, who is shooting 20% in conference. You got Mark Alstorff, who he touted as a scorer at this level, who shot 40% from 3 at Wright State last year, and is shooting in the teens in conference play. He talked about the leadership that he was going to get from Tijon Lucas, and that's kind of fizzled. I just think that he overestimated, but I think what he thought he was going to get compared to what he's actually getting has genuinely surprised him, and that's caused him to, as you say, switch course a little bit when it comes to what he's trying to do, because he's making more and more references now to we got to recruit, we got to recruit, and that simply these guys are not producing, and we've got to get better players. He's kind of said those words, in not such a direct form, but he's alluded to that process, and I just think that at this point in the season, he's surprised at the lack of production he's getting from a number of his guys.
Yeah, I don't know any nerd stats, and so I lean on you and I lean on other people, the big thing was when he came in. What was the stat everybody quoted? Number one, KenPom offensive efficiency. Number one offense, I don't even know what that means, really. I mean, I kind of know what that means, but let's be honest. Like, if you ask me, you put me on the spot right now, I was like, what does that mean? And I'm like, I don't know, like, we're good at offense. So, like, that was, like, the big thing, right? Like, he runs this efficient, scoring the first 7 seconds, but now we're basically just realizing that was Juwan Evans and Jeffrey Carroll, right? Like,
well, yeah. the system is still the same. I mean, you can see the principles at play, and there are many games where we get a lot of the shots that he wants to get, and we either miss a layup, close in, or we'll get an open three and we'll clank it. I mean, we're playing very fast relative to the rest of the conference. I think that's been the biggest change. We finally have every coach that comes in the first time, we're going to play fast, we're going to run. And the Big Ten season gets, yeah, and you're slogging around in the mud. But we stayed true to – we play very fast relative to the rest of the conference. We just don't play efficiently like we thought we were going to. Again, to me, it's as simple as we don't shoot the ball well enough to be efficient. It's just you can't. You can't shoot in the 20s from the three-point line for the season in conference play and expect to win games. You're eventually going to have a point where you're going to need to make some shots to win these games. And in most of these losses, where we've hung in and hung in through mixing and matching and a little bit of magic, eventually it comes down to we just miss shots at crucial times, and that ends up being the ball game. Or make a crucial error late in games too. But shooting has been the primary sin of this offense, and that's what's hard to be optimistic about next year, because that's not an easy thing to project from a leap standpoint. Guys will get better with a leap because they play more and they have the ball in their hands more, but it's not a given that you're going to automatically get better at shooting from 1 year to the next.
Do you think JCL would have helped?
Yes, I mean, to be honest, this offense could use a standstill shooter. Now, he would play, where Mark Smith is playing right now. I would assume, that's where the minutes are going to come from. And yeah, I think that he would knock down open shots. He could always do that, and he wouldn't be relied to be a ball handler. So I mean, but who wants to talk about JCI? I don't. I mean,
yeah.
Would we be 2-9 in conference or 2-10? Would we be 3-9 instead of 2-10? Great, big deal. I mean, ultimately, this year was not going to be a likely tournament year. And at the end of the day, I don't care if you have 8 wins in conference or you have 6 wins in conference. But I did want to see progression. I do think this team needs to experience some success to help foster those leaps, and that's what I'm worried about. That there's still a team going in next year that's full of guys that have never won at this level.
Yeah.
And that's not nerd stuff. That's more semantic and subjective, but I think that has meaning. So that's why I can't be as sure if these leaps are going to happen. I mean, and that's why it comes back to recruiting. And unless there is uh, a a significant influx of talent from a grad transfer perspective. The 2018 class is probably, unless you hit on Ramey and you hit on the kid from California, which, you know, I'm not optimistic on either of those fronts, but you're going to rely on some grad transfers to bridge the gap till 2019 and hope that you can get that class, because that's the class right now in the state of Illinois anyway that has major potential. But
yeah. But even with that major potential in that class, I mean, I don't know if there's shooters. At least not in the state, are there? I mean, Liddell is great and can hit the three, and he's way more of a 3-4 than I realized when I went to go see him. Like, I thought this kid was like a 4, like, not LeBron, but, you know, something like that. And he's, you know, he could play some wing. So, but, like, who's that scoring guard? And he's not in Illinois, so I don't know. You know, we say shooters. We say we've got to get somebody, you know, who can spot up. And then I'm thinking of the 2019 class. I'm not sure that kid's in the state, but we got to find him somewhere.
True, and but I don't want to overstate it. We don't need to be Golden State. We don't need to be the Warriors. We just need to be able to shoot an NCAA average would be just fine for me. Thank you very much.
Right.
It's enough to keep teams honest. I mean, you saw it tonight. Tonight especially, it became the Trent Frazier show. And I know that's not what Brad Underwood wants to do on his offense. He doesn't want to have hero ball, as we you know, that term goes. But Wisconsin made it really hard to throw entry passes into LaRon Black, and they collapsed and dared us to make shots. Trent made his, you know, he had a fantastic game, but at the end, he was guilty of trying to do too much. He gave the ball up, he passed up a layup for attempted a step back three, and again, that's tough when you can't shoot. It just makes everything harder when you don't have to guard guys in the perimeter as closely as you need to, especially when you have a guy who's effective on the block like LaRon is.
Man, oh man. Just like, you know, I've spent 9 years vlogging, you know, probably the worst 9 years of my lifetime with the two teams combined, you know. And I I'm constantly looking for these hope moments. Like, okay, these freshmen on the football team are promising in a couple years. And I kind of built this narrative of struggle through this year, break out next year with some sophomore leaps and senior leaps IO. And I think even through Sunday at Ohio State, I was holding on to that, like, okay, we can still start to see it. You know, we've got these two wins, we blew out Rutgers, we're starting to see it, and now it's just after this, it's just gone. Like, I'm sitting here in the car, like, wow. I mean, we talk about low moments, and I've gotten used to this. I mean, we're talking an 0-9 football conference team, and if we're losing this Wisconsin game, probably lose Penn State. Are we looking at something like 3-15 basketball? Like, this is some low end stuff. This is scraping the bottom of the barrel. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. There obviously is no parallel to any historical context to how bad the two programs have been. And I'll go through phases myself. I'm like, well, you know, it's been 4 years or 5 years from the NCAA tournament once one more year. But, you know, it does every single winter, it weighs on you, obviously.
I mean, the only thing we've had close to this would be 98-99 school year. 98 football, we had just gone 0-for in 97. And then 98, we won 3 games. And then 98-99 basketball, we went 3-13. Now, that immediately turned around the next year. You know, 99 football, it was Micro PC Bowl, 99-2000 basketball, suddenly we're back, and well, we're a 5 seed or whatever, you know. So we're not going to have that, but, I mean, that's really the only comp we have here for a year where just we're just the worst. I don't know why I keep searching for words to describe it each time it happens, but I just have to. Like, it needs to make sense or something. It needs context. I don't know, but you know, this losing thing is hard.
It's hard because you wanted to see this year some like you said, some hope, and you get some of that, and it's such an enigma of a team because they're in these games, like that Ohio State game. You look at the box, but there's no rhyme or reason why they were still in that game with a minute left to play.
Right.
You take positives from that, but then you look at the stats and you like and you see that we are last or next to last in all the primary statistical categories, and you say, well, you know what? Yeah, that's why we're last, because we are bad at everything that goes into making a good basketball team, and that's what's hard to get around. Is when you're trying to project in the future, is, you know, even with a substantial improvement, you might just get to 500 in the conference next year. And that's, you know, a year ago, I mean, when this season started, I had higher hopes than that. And, you know, if you have to adjust my expectations, you know, I've been there before, that's fine, but it's frustrating and not what we expected. And especially when you see a first-year coach at Ohio State that's, you know, going to be coach of the year with a team that was garbage last year as well. So,
yeah.
So again, it goes back to what we talked about. Really, you asked me in the very first article or post back during the preview, you asked me to write an article on the culture, and that's really been the buzzword all season. Is this season where I think Underwood's willing to take his lumps if he can get this culture established. And that's fine, but even with the culture established, if you don't have the skill, you're still going to be behind the other teams in the conference that continue to get better. You know, it's not in a vacuum. Other teams get better, get good guys, and other teams improve as well. So even with a significant improvement, we're still a ways away, more than I thought we would be.
Yeah, and that honestly, sometimes I hate myself when I take every point back to football. You know, like, I have this interline dialogue with myself. I'm like, enough. Like, you don't have to say this again. But I'm going to say it. Like, you know, I like sometimes that this lovey thing has become this complete overhaul. Like, it sucks to play all these freshmen and go like that, but I have this, like, back of my mind thought of, you know, if this was needed, we had to, like, gut the thing. Like, we've been bouncing up and down for 25 years and not really, you know, if this lovey thing works out, we're going to look back and say, yes, it had to be gutted. Like, gutted. Start over, gutted. And, you know, so when you're saying that about basketball and you're talking about culture and we're talking about a team that might go 3-15 in the Big Ten, then maybe that is the same thing. Like, maybe that's what we're saying here, is that this is another start from scratch. Now, it can be accomplished much faster in basketball than football, I think. I think that's been proven time and time again. But, you know, maybe this is just a start from the bottom, take your lumps, have to change the culture, gut the thing, and, you know, start building on a solid foundation.
And pray that this defensive system does work with the right players, because when you're giving up almost 60% on the year in conference play on two-point baskets, and that's a really tough hole to dig out of on a consistent basis.
I'm sorry, say that again. 60% on two?
59, but yeah. That's in conference play on defense. We give up almost 60% shooting from inside the arc. And yes, we're forcing turnovers, but we also lead the league in turnovers as well. So that's, like I said, in our after the Rutgers game, which was fun, but we're break even. You know, we turn teams over and then we give the ball right back. We get offensive rebounds, but we can't clear the defensive glass. And again, you can play break even basketball if you have the ability to shoot your way out of that. But obviously, we can't do that. And so here we are.
I'm so glad. I'm dead serious with this statement. Sometimes I'm so glad I don't really understand basketball. Like, I understand it, right? But, like, I just get lost in, you know, I never played. I don't have this sense of, you know, I get what's good defense and what's bad defense and everything else. But, like, you know, I don't understand it to the level that you do. And at times like this, when I hear that, like, I'm glad I don't realize how bad giving up 59% on twos is. Because if I did, it would probably depress me for the rest of the night.
You know how bad giving up 59% on two-point shots.
I'm just going to lean on my ignorance and just, basketball? What's basketball? I don't know how it works. Like, I can't let any of this sink in because it's just going to – I still got like an hour and 45 minutes of driving to do here, and I can't – I just can't let it sink that deep.
Like, don't let it sink that deep. Here's what you have to keep falling back on. That
okay.
The culture's established, that the recruiting will take care of the talent gap, and that the offense will eventually be efficient enough, there's that word again, to cover for some of the defensive sins. And that's, I think, the long game that Underwood is playing. And remains to be seen. The jury's out.
Then explain this to me. Why does it need to cover the sins? Why not just stop sinning? Is some of that defensive stuff a function of playing such up-tempo offense and crashing the offensive glass, so you're going to give up some runouts, and why not just don't sin and then play great defense or something?
Well, yeah, okay, that's my question. I'm not going to sit here in my living room and state that what Brad Underwood is doing is folly. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of that level of discrepancy, as you say, but I at least see what he's trying to do. And I think there's times where I wish that, you know, you work hard, you get back in the game, and then you foul 30 feet from the basket because you're trying to over pressure, and then all that lead you gain, you just give two free throws back, and now you're behind. That kind of stuff frustrates me. But I still can see the big picture, and I'm willing to let that process play out and say, once you get your players, that you'll be able to, like I said, make up for that. And things like you can assume that with better athletes, if we're turning turning teams over now, that even with substandard athleticism and right now, that when we do get the kind of players he wants, that's not going to change. But you would also hope
right.
that when you get players who have established a culture, that the stuff that they're not doing as well, they're not going to turn the ball over as much on that end, and they're going to have a better defensive rebounding capability, and they'll shoot better. So, you know, obviously every system has flaws. I just that this particular system's flaws are magnified with the lack of talent, and that's what we have to see. If the players can, he can get the players to fit the system he wants to do, and then we can all enjoy it. Because it's fun to watch. I mean, it's fun to watch them ball hockey, and it is exciting. But when you give up a layup, that's not so exciting.
Yeah, and I get, like, if there's anything I can latch onto, it's that kind of a thing. Like, especially after what happened with Brooks. So, you know, I'm this, like, I don't know, like I'm some, I was hurt in a relationship guy, okay? So, like, Gross comes in, we win immediately. I mean, Gross has been the coach for 2 weeks, you know, we've played a month and a half of basketball. No, a month of basketball in his first season, and we're 10th in the country. You know, we win Maui, we beat number 12 Gonzaga or whatever on the road, and we roll into Christmas number 10 in the country. And I am bought in. He's a genius. We have fixed everything. But there are all these cracks, right? And you know, we go 8-10 in the Big Ten. Yes, that gives us a 7 seed because we had a great time conference and, you know, it was a really good Big Ten and we got the big wins. But then it was a mirage. Like, it just got a little worse and a little worse. And I kept saying, no, hold on. Remember what the first year was like. Hold on. It's going to be fine. And then it falls off. So when I get, like, tricked like that, when I hang on to something that really wasn't a thing, then with the next coach, I'm going to be skeptical, and I'm going to be like if say Holtman was hired and he was doing what he's doing at Ohio State right now, I'd be in this mode of like, I'm not doing it again. I'm not buying in again. Let's see where this thing goes. Let's see what gets built, not just what we do with 1 year with a great player or whatever. So, you know, in that sense, I can buy into everything we're talking about. We're changing everything. We need the athletes. It's a proven system. Worked Stephen F. Austin. Worked at Oklahoma State. We got to get the athletes, and we're going to get somewhere. We're going to build something, and we're going to have a thing. And it's going to be sustainable for years and years and years, not just a flash in the pan and then a fade away. So I'm good with that. I can buy into that. Let's get the players long term. Let's build something 25 years, not just 3 years, whatever. So I can cling to that, but since I'm already doing that with football, and since we haven't been in the NCAA tournament since 2013, and since we haven't been at bowl games since 2014, it's just getting, well, I don't need to tell anybody that. We're all living it, but I don't even have a point. I'm just rambling at this point. But I think I can buy into it's got to overhaul and it's got to change and we got to get the player.
And until then, you just have to, as you are wanting to do, you have to keep trying to find little cracks that give you some hope. You take pleasure in watching Trent Frazier. You appreciate the consistency that Laron Black gives you, and you keep hoping that it clicks for Kiffer Nichols. You hope that somehow Mike Finke can regain his shooting stroke and become effective. You hope that Mark Smith, it turns on for him, and he does regain what he, I think, or I shouldn't say regain, what he grows into what we think he can. We hope that DeMonte Williams becomes that glue guy that Underwood has said he was, you know, in the first month of the year.
Yeah.
And so we are this team is young. There's a lot of freshmen. Freshmen struggle in the level of player that we recruited often struggle. You know we're not throwing four McDonald's All-Americans out there. We're, you know, in the neighborhood of recruiting class rankings that we're living in, you know, you're not going to expect to have 3 out of 3 freshmen perform at an All Big Ten or at a high level. Yeah. We hit on 1 out of 3 as a freshman performer, and that's pretty good for that, you know, for the ranking levels that we're recruiting at. So,
yes.
And that's where it comes back to, and this is not rocket science. It comes back to can you get those players?
Yep.
So.
All right, man. I think we've covered it. I think we figured out that there's nothing to figure out. But I appreciate you, Bob. I needed this personally.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to spend the rest of my drive angry at the cop for the ticket. And
I will go to Champaign on Sunday, and I would not be remotely surprised if we beat Penn State on Sunday.
Hope so, man. I need it.
So, well, we will.
All right, dude.
We will talk soon. So, drive safe.
Bring home a winner on Sunday.
All right. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you.
All right. Yeah. Bye.